God. Yes.
We've got a situation, and it calls for a solution that upholds our domination of the planet. We're gonna make our case, and we're gonna make it well. And if you don't like our logic, you can can it. We'll use impeccable intelligence from any country in the world, as long as we all see eye to eye. And if we don't find quite what we need, we know what to do. Just look into the camera and lie. Friends, a wall that justifies any means for their ends, a wall between Semites, rich and poor, brothers and sisters from not so long before, many feet thick and 20 feet high. Just a stranger on the other side. They're building a wall between water and land so we can eat fruit and they can eat sand. A wall to make sure that our orchards will grow and our kids can get fat and not need to know of the cities in ruins and the children in fear that your fathers and brothers in tanks might be near. A wall to keep quiet that which you fear most, so you don't have to listen to your grandfather's ghost. They're building a wall between future and past, wall to keep distant the chambers of gas from the bulldozers' gunships and the tears of a child. Dignity, love, and all honor defiled, to remove reality thoughts keep separate the truth from the lie. They're building a wall, and at such a cost, land, money, and safety, and all the lives lost. A wall made of brick, but bricks can be broken when the people of Zion have finally awoken and said no more walls, no more refugees, no more keeping people up on their knees. And then the history books will someday recall, before apartheid was ended, they were building a wall. President came to London and was greeted by the Queen. For the people of the city, it was a festive scene. Hundreds of thousands of women and men were all in the street, talking and dancing and shouting, marching on their feet. But the highest peak of the evening, to be only sure, when the statue of George Bush was toppled in Trafalgar Square. Those days in London, it was the place to be. Young and old, black and white, was the face of society. Even the mayor came out, called him a criminal of war, said world domination ain't worth fighting for. He said, we don't like W or his poodle, Tony Blair. When the statue of George Bush was toppled, Trafalgar Square. The night sky was lit up, and the message, it was clear. We do not want fascism over there or over here. It was heard firsthand by many there on British soil. We will not fight for Exxon. We won't kill or die for oil. All around the planet, we were all right there when the statue of George Bush was toppled in Trafalgar Square. When the statue of George Bush was toppled in Trafalgar Square.
We're in LA, after all. Have you seen The Day After Tomorrow yet? The movie?
Yeah.
It was pretty amusing when, after the movie came out, then all the scientists working for the government and stuff, and the corporate scientists started going on the defensive and saying, well, really the ice age theory is really, bollocks and all this stuff. Of course, the main point that we're all going to die is, that global warming is happening, the oceans are rising, and we're all going to die. That they kind of kind of skirted that one, but there were, I guess when a hurricane happens, I was just reading about this, when a really big hurricane happens, it causes the ocean to swell, you know, and by about 1 foot per, like, or it's a, like a big hurricane, it'll be like 25, 30 feet ocean swelling, right? New Orleans used to be, used to have 30 miles of wetlands in front of it, in between it and the Gulf of Mexico, actually, you know. And that's all gone because of the rising of the oceans. There are no more wetlands in between New Orleans and the ocean. And when the hurricanes hit the wetlands, 1 foot of swell is sucked up by the wetlands per mile of wetlands. So when the hurricane of 1965 that caused massive damage to New Orleans, people pretty much survived it because of those 30 miles of wetlands. So what they're saying now is that the next time a massive hurricane actually hits New Orleans head on, which hasn't happened since 1965, that's it for New Orleans. And L.A. and Houston and New York are right behind. It's about wedded to profit in flood and in drought. I'm talking to you from here at the end of the world. Standing here on the bayou amidst mountains of soil, washed up farmland covered in oil. 1 ton every acre lost every year, along with the pesticides it ends up right here. Millions of miles of chemical challenging all to try to compete and lay waste to your country like we've done to ours. Let them eat coffee, sugar, coca, and flowers. I'm talking to you from here at the end of the world. Here in the city, shrouded in smoke, 10 million people this morning awoke to a future of cancer, industrial disease. So let's build some more suburbs and buy SUVs, cut down the mountains, burn all the coal, and put all the money in a humongous bowl. They'll call it progress and they'll blame it on you to end life as we know it, to enrich the few. I'm talking to you from here at the end of the world. Yes, I speak to you now from an occupied place. You might call it your home or a terrorist base. They'll send your sons and your daughters to make sure that it's theirs, while they sit in their mansions in plush leather chairs. And everyone's waiting for us to decide. In dust we were born, and in dust we reside. Will we realize the commons is to shepherd and share here in this war zone called land, water, and air? I'm talking to you from here at the end of the world. The end of the about what we need to do very quickly if we're going to survive. I say we set a realistic date, like May 1st, 2007, noon. You know, because those of us who are at the FDA protests in Miami know what happened when you try to plan an action at 7 in the morning involving everybody. They don't, you know. We have to be realistic. Why did they do 7 in the morning? Why not? I mean, the cops were there 24/7, so it didn't really matter whether it was 7, noon, whatever, you know? dust all settled, the sun shone so bright, and a great calm took over us like it was all gonna be all right. That's how it felt to be alive after the revolution. From Groton to Tacoma, on many a factory floor, the workers talked of solidarity, build weapons of war. No more will we make missiles, we're gonna do something different. And for the first time, their children were proud of their parents. And somewhere in Gaza, a little boy smiled and cried after the revolution. Prison doors swung open, mothers hugged their sons. The Liberty Bell was ringing when the cops put down their guns. A million innocent people lit up in the springtime air. And Mumia and Leonard and Sarah Jane Olson took a walk in Tompkins Square. And they talked about what they do now after the revolution. Debts were all forgiven. In all the neo-colonies, soldiers left their bases, went back to their families. A non-aggression treaty was signed with every sovereign state. All the terrorist groups disbanded with no empire left to hate. And they all started planting olive trees after the and Henry Kissinger were sent off to the world court. Their plans for global domination were preemptively cut short. Their weapons of mass destruction were inspected and destroyed. Battleships dismantled, never again to be deployed. And the world breathed a sigh of relief after the upon the tracks. Organic food was in the markets, no GMOs upon the racks. And all the billionaires had to learn how to share. Bill Gates was told to quit his whining when he said it wasn't fair. And his mansion became a collective farm after the live life for today. I spent a few years catching up with all my friends and lovers, sleeping till 11 home beneath the covers. And I learned how to play the accordion after the revolution. Song that we're going to hear more from the fabulous Prince Mishkins, and this has just been a wonderful evening. This is just fantastic. And let's hear for Hal and Frank. The only problem with coming out here is on the plane, and I know you don't really believe that I actually haven't smoked any pot today because I've been forgetting all my lyrics, but I haven't. That's probably the problem. So somebody, you know, the best improvement to the evening, as far as I'm concerned, would be somebody having a joint late, you know. So just, you know, I barter for CDs.
So.
Well, but that's not tonight, you know. Immediate gratification is the thing. I got pot in Texas. It's just not helping me here, you know. But I don't know. I'll be back. I'll be back in September. That's right. I'll be back in September, and I'll be actually me and Dave will both be back. And me and Dave are going to do a tour of the entirety of the West Coast in September, and we don't have any gigs set up yet, but we will, hopefully. You know, depending on y'all, basically. When the world has gone crazy, and it's all becoming clear. When they're gunning down our comrades, and it seems the end is near, as they're loading up the launchers for the tear gas grenades, we can take off our bandanas and kiss behind the barricades. When it's madness all around, and you can see this at a glance, we will sing and we will cry, we will laugh and we will dance. As they shout their marching orders beneath the helicopter blades, we shall seize the moment for a kiss behind the barricades. They will try to stop our spirit, and at times they may succeed, but our love for the world is stronger than their greed. When the building is surrounded and hope begins to fade, in my final hour, a kiss behind the barricades. As the movement grows, there will be hills and bends, but at the center of the struggle are your lovers and your friends. And the more we hold each other up, the less we can be swayed. Here's to love and solidarity and a kiss behind the barricades.